You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Now it's time for Tomorrow's World, the segment where we consider how science affects the individual and wider society. This week, Leilani spoke to Lisa Te Morena and Pippa McKelvey-Sibilo about how 7 out of 10 type 2 diabetes cases globally are related to poor diet and how Aotearoa fits into that statistic. First, she asked Lisa Te Morena about her research on type 2 diabetes.
So my early research, it looked at diets and it was thinking about what individuals could do themselves to reduce their risk of developing diabetes. But over time, I've become less interested in what individuals can do because often people are really limited in their ability to access the sorts of healthy foods that we know reduce the risk of diabetes. I've done quite a lot of research over the last decade looking at the role that diets or specific parts of the diet, types of foods, play in treating and preventing diabetes. So my PhD research looked at different types of diets, high protein versus high fiber diets, and whether one was more effective than the other for reducing the risk that someone would go on to develop diabetes. It's been quite interesting. And I think what we know from a lot of the research I've done, or what I've come to believe, is that diets that are high in fiber, from things like your fruits and vegetables, but also from whole grain breads and things like porridge and brown rice, that sort of thing, if people who have plenty of that sort of food in their diets have a lower risk of going on to develop diabetes. So I'm a grade 5 advocate.
And how do you think that the Māori statistics fit into the wider focus of this study?
People are really limited in their ability to access the sorts of healthy foods that we know reduce the risk of diabetes. But if you don't have a lot of money and you're struggling to pay your rent, the cheapest food is often the least healthy. It's not your whole grains and it's not fresh fruits and vegetables, the highly processed foods. And families often, you know, they can't afford food wastage, so you end up buying things that you know your kids are going to eat and that you can afford. So I'm much more interested these days in looking at how we can shift that balance to make healthy foods more affordable and accessible for our lowest income families in New Zealand. And Māori and Pacifica families are often down at the bottom of that socioeconomic ladder. So I'm really keen to see good policy coming out from our government that shifts that balance and makes it easier for our people to have those healthy diets that reduce the long-term risks of diabetes and cardiovascular disease, which actually shorten our lives relative to Pākehā families.
And if you had any recommendations for the health sector and how we're operating now, what changes do you think would help these impacted communities?
Yeah, this is it's a really tough question or a really big challenge to help families right now to afford healthy food. So there are some long-term strategies we think the government needs to consider. You know, one of those is actually bringing together a team of experts to sit down and really map out what are some good fiscal policies around taxes and subsidies and regulations that we need to consider to bring down the cost of healthy food in New Zealand. That's going to take a long, long time. And people are really struggling right now with the cost of food, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are probably students and have, you know, particularly feeling the pinch right now. I'm shocked at how expensive food has gotten in the supermarket. So one thing we've identified that we think the government could implement right now that would make a big difference to a lot of families, probably not students, sadly, is expanding the healthy school lunch program that we have operating at the moment. So currently about 25% of students going to schools that are eligible to get the free healthy school lunch program. But unfortunately we know that at least half of children that are living in households that are really struggling to afford food on a regular basis don't go to schools that get that free lunch program. So we are asking, really advocating, for the government to expand that healthy free lunch program so that at least half the children get that. And we think that could make a real difference right now for a relatively small cost. And that can give the government a bit of breathing space to do some of that more structural thing that's required for long term.
Leilani also asked Pippa McKelvey-Sebelo to expand more on the idea behind free lunches at school.
My name's Pippa McKelvey-Sebelo. I'm a doctoral candidate at the School of Population Health at University of Auckland.
How did you get involved with your research in diabetes?
Well, my research has been based in Hawke's Bay. We've been looking at how to improve children's nutrition through using a couple of methodologies, through systems thinking and incorporating mātauranga Māori into our work down here. I was working as research manager at EIT, which is part of the Te Pūkenga network, what used to be called Polytech. I was research manager down here. And through that work, I really became aware of inequities in our communities. Children who really weren't having enough food to eat at all at home, at school, and also through that, so some of that kind of deficit-based statistics I became aware of. But then also these amazing initiatives that schools were doing to feed those kids and to find their own funding, breakfast clubs, barbecues on Friday, things like this. And I really wanted to understand more about it. I'm also a mum of three children who were born overseas and in the country they were born in, there was just a lunch system in the schools. So I'd seen how that worked. And at the time in 2019, there was talk of introducing a school lunch program in New Zealand, and it did happen. At the beginning of the school term and the school year in 2020, they announced a new lunch program in a pilot in some pilot schools, and Hawke's Bay was lucky enough to be one of those regions. Then we all know what happened in 2020, and post-COVID, that pilot program was massively expanded, and now there's about 200,000 students across the country who receive a free lunch every day. So it was really just a combination of interest from my own personal life and from my professional work that said to me, I've got to understand more about this, and it's a great time to do some research down here on this.
Where do you hope this project will continue to go?
I'm kind of at the end of my three-year PhD work at the moment, but last year we conducted a series of whānau hui, student hui, and principal interviews asking about the impact of what it's been like to have this school lunch program with healthy meals delivered to those kids every day or made on-site at school. So the impacts, just from the immediate impact of less hunger, less financial hardship in those families, but also we're starting to see more longer-term benefits too of taste preferences changing. So it was really cool in the hui. I had lots of parents talking about how their kids will come home and say, we ate some chickpeas at school, can you cook that? And the parents have never cooked a chickpea before and don't have any idea, but then they're learning too through what the students are bringing home. So we really are seeing that through being exposed to different, diverse diets at school and healthy diets at school, that it can change nutritional preferences. And we know that sets them up for better health over their life as well. So my research has been about gathering those stories and presenting them back and communicating these findings so that, the Minister of Education can take them on board in their policies about how Ka Ora Ka Ako, which is the name of the school lunch program, by the way. Ka Ora Ka Ako means to be well, be well to learn. And so the Minister of Education can take that on board in their design of their program and their revisions of the program, and so that schools can also take it on board to know how to design their program in the best way to get the best outcomes for students and for the whānau of those students.
And I guess that ties into the last thing I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned to Science Media Centre that we urgently need a national food security plan. What plan would you like to see the government implement?
So I don't know what that plan would look like. That would be part of the process, right? But we don't have a lot of regulation in this country about... We don't have a national food strategy. We don't have kind of agreed definitions on some of the things like the word food security or food sovereignty. And I think... I mean, I've just been at a really interesting hui this morning for a regional food strategy here in Hawke's Bay. We are a region known as the Fruit Bowl of New Zealand. Just had a devastating cyclone that has really wiped out primary production in the region for this immediate year and for some years to come. But we don't have a strategy for food resilience here, for looking after our local communities, looking after the health and well-being through nutrition of our regional population in a national, you know, a nationally led strategy either. So I think there's both a need for kind of national enablement of these regional groups that coordinate strategies and local involvement. So yeah, there's really just an absence of that in New Zealand at the moment.
That was Lisa Te Morenga and Pepe McKelvey-Sabalo talking about a new paper exploring diet-related causes of type 2 diabetes and what we can do in Aotearoa to combat it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.